Welcome back to the Getting Grit Podcast. I am Brad Pohl, your host, and this is where we tell the stories of sinners and saints. Follow Me, Boys is an American drama film by Walt Disney Productions starring Fred McMurray. It's an adaptation of the 1954 novel God in My Country by Mackenzie Cantor. The final film was released exactly 2 weeks before Walt Disney died from cancer in the year 1966. It's one of those wholesome, innocent movies that Kurt Russell played in long before he spoke the lines, "You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me." This is the story of Lem Siddons, a saxophonist in a traveling band until the band lands in the small town of Hickory. These were the Depression years, and Lem wanted to settle somewhere and become a lawyer. They say that beauty first arrests you, then it captures you, and finally it sends you on a mission. And that's what happened to Lem. Her name was Vida. She took his breath away. So he decides to settle in Hickory. He takes a job as a stock boy at a local store, Hughes Mercantile, and begins the process of trying to fit into the town. Lem makes a very complex reaction at his first town meeting. He volunteers to become the leader of a Boy Scout troop due to his interest in Vida and Vida's interest in helping the youth of this hamlet, population 5,480. You read on Lem's face his uncertainty, if he can live that life. Yet for Lem, it seems that life discovers him. He's a natural leader, and the Boy Scout troop seems to attract young men in desperate need of such leadership. But it puts a hold on his pursuits to become a lawyer. Teaching boys in a whole town what sacrifice and mercy are all about costs a man time. The town's troublemaker, Edward Whitey White Jr., is out one night while Lem and Vida are on a date night. They catch Whitey stealing from Hughes Mercantile after it was closed for the evening. Startled, Whitey falls from a ladder and sprains his ankle. Lem bandages the boy up, using the techniques provided in the Boy Scout handbook. Impressed by Lem's work, Whitey secretly steals the book, which Lem allows, showing mercy on a boy that he sees his own faults and reflection in. The whole encounter draws Vida into Lem's arms. Soon after, they marry. Lem invites Whitey's father, Edward Sr., to attend a parents' night at the Boy Scouts Lodge, located on the lake property of Hetty Siebert, matriarch of the city. Edward arrives drunk and embarrasses Whitey terribly. Sadly, Edward dies later that very night, leaving Lem and Vida to adopt Whitey. Whitey will, of course, grow up to be the hero of the movie Tombstone, which has nothing to do with this story about Hickory and Lem Siddons. Lem's pursuit of the law and, of course, leading the scouts through the Depression and into the war years, well, the stories begin to mount. The United States Army was performing war games in the immediate vicinity of Hickory and captures Lem while he and the scouts are on a camping trip. Convinced he is a spy, he's held under guard only because Lem cannot tie a sheep shank knot, which happens to be the only knot in the scout handbook Lem never learned to tie. In spite of Lem's lackluster knot-tying skills, he eventually gets released. Soon after, Lem gets an opportunity to play the small-town lawyer, his life's unfulfilled dream, even though he's never passed the bar. The town's villain is attempting to steal the land given to the Boy Scouts by the hamlet's matriarch. Lem leads a rousing cross-examination in a not-so-judicial hearing and wins. Lem failed to achieve everything he once so desperately wanted, and in doing so found everything he'd so desperately needed, a life transformed. It was his works of mercy and his work in the service to others that carries the story. You know, the prophet Jeremiah spoke these words to the people of God. "For long ago you broke your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, 'I will not serve.'" The question comes, can anything from the heart that is not lived out in a man's life be of any value? Didn't Christ say, "I did not come to be served, but to serve"? The yoke that binds the horse and hitch is meant to help and not to hinder. And the fruit that comes from both helps the man to grow and not to wither. To the left of the altar in the church of San Luigi dei Francesi in Rome hang three Caravaggio paintings, scenes from the life of Matthew the Apostle. The first painting shows Jesus calling Matthew to follow him. The second shows a much older Matthew writing his gospel. and the third shows Matthew being martyred for his witness of Jesus. The first painting, The Calling of Matthew, is widely thought to be Caravaggio's finest work. Jesus is young and vibrant, but we see only the side of his face and his hand, which is extended, pointing at Matthew. The face of Matthew suggests a complex emotional reaction to the call, displaying that he is astonished, uncertain, deeply moved. The call of Matthew arises from depths within Jesus that none of the others in the room can fathom. Jesus knows exactly who he is calling. Nothing can move him to reconsider, as the painting in the gospel story recounts. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and Matthew rose and followed him. Matthew might have felt that he did not belong. Isn't our greatest enemy the father of all lies, the one who whispers to us that we are not worthy of God's kingdom, not capable of living that life? Yet, if one could imagine the look on Jesus' face at the moment, the wry smile that said, "You didn't think I'd come for you, did you? But here I am." Then Jesus' words create a still in the frantic air. "Follow me." Matthew's entire world shifts upside down. The Old Testament prophets constantly called the people to live out generosity and mercy. The Greek and Latin words for generosity combined mean a noble birth that is ungrudging. The Latin word for mercy means to have compassion from the heart. The Greek and Old English definitions of the phrase to follow means to accompany, move in the same direction as, pursue, obey, applying oneself. One could say, not remaining idle, as if the person were entitled. Jesus scandalizes both the good and the wicked with his mercy. He calls everyone to what is truly good, a noble rebirth in baptism, fellowship with himself and with his compassionate heart, which calls us to the pursuit, the desire to obey, and applying ourselves to the tasks of holiness. As Caravaggio's second and third paintings make clear, Matthew's life was completely transformed. When you see the fierceness of Christ's love, you ask why any man would ignore him and not follow him. Jesus is the one who seeks after us, saying, "Can you tie a sheep's shank knot?" No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Ain't it so? This is Getting Grit signing off. Blessings to you all. Dominus. Vobiscum.